Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a surprisingly jammed and busy sports day, a Wednesday, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and this is the last day you'll see this hair. I'm getting it cut after the show. Hallelujah. Nice to have you in. Nick Wright this hour. Next hour, we'll go and get inside the NBA bubble again. I'm kind of getting excited about this. I'm starting to see more optimism. James Harden showed up, the beard. Players are starting to say they're playing pretty well. They're all back into it. Why don't you give guys basketballs? Let them sweat. Let them run around. Everybody's like, okay, we're getting close. This is going to be fun. Joy Taylor's joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. Happy DAC Day.
It is DAC Day. The story that would never end will end by the end of our show. I am fatigued on DAC. So it's really important. Let me start with this. When I was a young broadcaster, I was very fortunate. And I worked hard and everything, blah, blah, blah. But in more than one spot in my life, local, national, syndicated, non-syndicated, I had a kingmaker. I had somebody with power and leverage that liked my work. And it made it a lot easier. A lot easier. Like, I think I've been, you know, I've earned some of the stuff and I've worked hard, and I'm not going to be falsely humble here. I'm pretty good. But the point is, when you're young, it really helps to have somebody bang on the table for you. Somebody that gets into meeting rooms that I don't get into. Somebody that gets into corner offices I can now get into, I didn't get into. Somebody to bang on the table and say, she's really good. He's really good. You got to give them a second listen. They deserve that job. Well, they're not qualified. You got to give them that job. I don't know if they're, I know, go for it. Kingmakers. I had a couple. It's why I'm here. Here's the thing about Dak Prescott. Mike McCarthy's the coach of the Cowboys now. One, he's a Super Bowl winning head coach. So how much influence does he have in Dallas? Well, we know the story on Jerry. But he's got some influence, right? I mean, hell, Matt LaFleur in Green Bay has influence. We could tell that by the draft. So if Matt LaFleur has some influence, Mike's got some. I don't think Mike's banging on the table for Dak. Doesn't mean he doesn't like him. Doesn't mean this year he doesn't want him. But Mike didn't call Dak for like a longer than you'd expect time after getting the job. That's weird. Mike worked with Favre and Rodgers. When you go from a Mercedes to a Honda Accord, nothing against Honda Accord, it is different. And Mike McCarthy now has something he has never had. An owner and a wheeler-dealer owner. I don't think Mike McCarthy's going in and slamming his fist on the table for Dak. That does not mean he doesn't like him. But I think Mike McCarthy is saying what a lot of people are saying. Listen, this offensive line, Amari, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, Zeke, I didn't have anything like that in Green Bay, and I won a Super Bowl. I didn't have anything close to Dallas's offensive line, close to Zeke, close to this wide receiving core. I'm an offensive coach. I can win here with Dak. I can win without him. Do we want to get locked into it? Doesn't mean he doesn't like him. But when you're young and it's one of those go either way situations, man, I had a couple people that banged on that table for me. My dad used to always say this. Most of your employment decisions will be made when you're not in the room. Be nice to people, right? And sometimes even that's not enough. They don't want to pay you. They got somebody else in mind. Is that, and I've said this before, the key to Dak could be Dwayne Haskins. If Dwayne Haskins works in Washington, and I think it's 50-50. I liked him out of college. I really did. Last year, some stuff I didn't like. Selfie during a game, not a big fan of. But if it works, and I think it's a coin flip, you're going to have 7 or 8 quarterbacks available next year. Cam could be available. Derek Carr could be available. 3 high-end college quarterbacks could be available. And you got about 4 teams that need a quarterback. I mean, you have Andy Dalton. I don't think that's the answer. I just wonder if McCarthy was banging on that table, would the deal be done? And I'm not saying McCarthy doesn't like him, but you can't tell me he doesn't have some influence. If Matt LaFleur's got some, Mike doesn't have any with a Super Bowl ring? Things to talk about. Wouldn't be shocked if Dak did sign a deal and it's been, you know, a game of chicken, so to speak. But I think today it's going to be a franchise tag. All right, this story came down. Joy, did it come down? I think it came down at the very end of the show. Or was it right after the show? The Myles Garrett story.
Myles Garrett, it was right after the show.
Okay, so the show ended.
Yeah.
And it just ended.
Yes.
And so you and I talked about it for a second, right?
Yeah, we were leaving work.
Okay.
And Goulet let us know.
Okay. So the Cleveland Browns finalized another contract yesterday. They will now pay Myles Garrett $125 million, 5 years. Okay. Myles Garrett's very good, and he deserves a lot of money. Quarterbacks, left tackles, pass rushers, not a lot of arguments with me. He is really good. He is really, really, really good. I know there was the incident. I got to be honest with you. That doesn't define him. He's really good. You don't let Myles Garrett go. But here's the point. The Cleveland Browns, because Baker Mayfield's on a rookie contract, I know he was the number one pick rookie contract. The Cleveland Browns are paying these players $10 million or more a year. Myles Garrett, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Jack Conklin, Sheldon Richardson, Olivier Vernon, J.C. Treader, good center, Austin Hooper, good tight end, and Joel Batonio, he's a very good guard. The Jets are paying 2 people over $10 million, C.J. Mosley and Le'Veon Bell. And the Jets are like, we can't afford Jamal Adams. Wait a minute. You have a quarterback in a rookie contract, and your rookie quarterback was taken after Baker, so he makes less, and you can't pay Jamal Adams. So what's my point? I think Sam Darnold's really good. I don't think he's Mahomes, you know, special, but I think he's really good. And I think Baker Mayfield's overrated. But if you don't think front offices and GMs and some coaches don't dictate your success, this is unbelievable. The Jets, a year ago, had a Pro Bowl kicker and a Pro Bowl kick returner. The kick returner was Andre Roberts. He was a Pro Bowl kick returner. Jets were like, we can't afford him. He signed for 2 years and $4 million. Their kick returning unit went downhill after he left. They had a kicker, Jason Myers. Pro Bowl kicker. Jets are like, can't afford him. It's very expensive. Seattle got him. $4 million a year. Less than that. The Jets' kicking unit went into the tank, and their kick return unit eroded. They pay 2 guys. Now Cleveland's paying 10. And the Jets can't pay Jamal Adams. Is somebody using the Dewey Decimal System and somebody's not? Are the commas ending up in the wrong place? Is this a Swiss bank? I know what you're saying. You just don't like Baker. No, I don't like Baker as much as you do in Cleveland, but I think he can play. But this is the difference. And as much as I love Mahomes has a great coach and a great GM. Or he's just really talented, not getting to the playoffs. Mahomes ain't getting there by himself. This, and what's more disturbing, is the Jets, despite only paying 2 people, don't have a single unit on their entire team outside of maybe safety. You'd be like, oh, that's a really good unit. The Browns now have an elite wide receiving unit, an elite tight end unit, an elite running back unit. I would argue if the rookie pops, 2 high-end tackles, and their offensive line this year has a chance to be a top 10 offensive line. Center, guard, and one of the tackle spots I know are above average. If the rookie's as good as I think, that's a top 8 offensive line. And they also have a better-than-average defensive line. And so, again, what does it all mean? As much as I like Sam Darnold, he is not Andrew Luck. He is not Mahomes. He is not a once-in-a-decade quarterback talent. Andrew Luck was good enough to overcome a bad front office to a point. Then he had to retire early. As much as I love Sam Darnold, I don't think he's going to have nearly the year of Baker Mayfield this year. And it won't be an excuse. I've said this before. An excuse is the dog ate my homework. A reason is the school bus got T-boned on the way to school. That's why I'm late. This is not an excuse. The New York Jets couldn't keep Pro Bowl kickers and kick returners, won't pay Jamal Adams. Still, the money, they don't have an elite unit. And Cleveland signs, and good for Cleveland, because he's a really, really good football player. Cleveland signs Myles Garrett to $125 million. They're paying Landry. They're paying their tackle. They're paying their tight end. They're paying Odell Beckham. They're paying Sheldon Richardson. It's incredible. I mean, it's, you know, I always feel lucky that outside of my first job, which you just, you know, kind of take what you can take, even then I had choices. When I got out of college, I had three offers out of college, and I took Las Vegas because it was better than Midland, Texas, and Spokane, Washington. It was a better job. I had choices. This is why I feel bad for pro athletes and why I always support players moving. I support Kevin Durant moving. I didn't like his last move, but I supported him in his previous move. Is that, can you imagine working so hard your whole life? I mean, you just think about this. Forget the money. Everybody always goes, well, the players make a lot of money. You work your whole life. You dedicate yourself to basketball or football your whole life. And your reward for being great is you go to the worst operation, the worst owner, and the worst GM. You know, when Kevin Durant left, I always laughed when Kevin Durant left. He shows no loyalty. Kevin Durant went to Seattle. The owner said, I'm buying the team. I'll never leave it. And the owner moved to Oklahoma City. You think maybe? He thought, this loyalty thing I'm not so sure of. They had James Harden. The general manager's like, yeah, let's get an end table for James Harden, send him to Houston. Do you think Kevin Durant at one point went, you know, I'm looking at the loyalty thing. I'm not really sure I buy into it. And you're crushing him on loyalty. By the way, an owner can make money forever. A GM can make money forever. A player's got about 8 years to make it. So as much as I love Darnold, and as much as sometimes Baker I think is overrated, Baker's going to have a much better year. He's going to have a much better year. The Browns are a much better team with multiple elite units, and Sam Darnold will be bailing water and probably won't even get Jamal Adams. Because if the kick returner and the kicker were too expensive, forget Jamal Adams.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
With quarterback, it's always kind of simple to me. Because you, most people in this league want to win Super Bowls. Like, right, you're trying to get the bar, the baton. You want the big thing. Is your quarterback good enough to win a Super Bowl? Now, on its face, you think there's a bunch of people can do that. But to win a Super Bowl, remember, you have to win multiple games against Hall of Fame coaches and Hall of Fame quarterbacks. You're going to have to get through Andy Reid's, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson's, Deshaun Watson's, Russell Wilson's, Aaron Rodgers. You're going to have to get through a Pete Carroll, a John Harbaugh, a Sean Payton, and Andy Reid, guys like Mike Zimmer, who may not get to the Hall of Fame but are very good football coaches. Do you have the ability to beat a Hall of Fame quarterback, to beat a Hall of Fame coach in his schemes, to go on the road multiple times to win? Now, people always throw out this. Well, I mean, Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer, timeout. The game has changed. You cannot play defense like that anymore. You cannot have a defense that can grab people, hit late, intimidate. That doesn't work that way. The game has changed. There are no 17-14 Super Bowls. I mean, so that throw that off. You're going to have to win an occasional shootout. And then the other thing is, what about Nick Foles? No. Timeout Nick Foles. Carson Wentz, who is good enough to win a Super Bowl, got him home field advantage before he got hurt. Nick Foles has never started more than 8 games. That's his career average. Never started more than 8 games in a season in his career. Just because Carson Wentz gets you home field advantage and you win a singular shootout against Tom, that's not the floor. To win a Super Bowl, do you have a quarterback that can play 15 or 16 games? get you home field advantage. If he doesn't, beat a Hall of Fame coach, a Hall of Fame quarterback talent on the road and win shootouts. Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Matt Ryan are the floor. They haven't won, but they've gotten real close. And I've seen Goff out-duel Breeze in New Orleans and out-duel Mahomes in Los Angeles on the right night. I've seen Matt Ryan out-duel Aaron Rodgers. Go look at Matt Ryan's Super Bowl year. Look at those playoff numbers when he got to the Super Bowl. I mean, those numbers were by Matt Ryan. I've seen that. The question is Dak good enough to win a Super Bowl? And that's where I'm like, no, I don't think so. I don't think he is. So what is the investment? I'll give you an example. This stuff matters. It's not that you win, it's who you beat. A lot of Mountain West football teams win a lot of games. Who'd they beat? I look at schedules. Dak has had one huge break. He didn't go into a tough division. Washington and the New York Giants have been tire fires since he entered the division. Dak is 13-3 against Washington and New York, 30 touchdowns, 4 picks, a passer rating of 105. Against everybody else, you know, the everybody else, which has Hall of Fame coaches, not all of them, but Hall of Fame quarterbacks, 27-21, 67 touchdowns, 32 picks. Passer rating's good, not special, 94. To me, there's only 11 guys in this league that I think can get into, you know, can get into shootouts with great quarterbacks and win. Can face a Belichick, a Pete Carroll, Andy Reid, Sean Payton, and win. And be beyond the schemes. That can go on the road multiple times and beat those guys. And here's my 11. This is it. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Wentz, Brady, Breeze, and they're getting old. Goff, Ryan, Garoppolo, and Deshaun Watson. Kirk Cousins, I don't see him beating Hall of Fame quarterbacks on the road 2 and 3 times. I don't see that. Josh Allen, come on, let's slow down. That right now is a coaching and a defense story, not a Josh Allen story. That's it. These are the guys. Now, I know Goff, Garoppolo, and Matt Ryan, you're going to push back. But I've seen him do it. I've seen him go on the road. I've seen him win multiple playoff games. I've seen him get to a Super Bowl. I've seen him be a play away. If you're a play away, a throw away from winning the Super Bowl, then you're good enough. You know, if you get nominated for an Oscar with 5 other great actors and you don't win, you're good enough to win an Oscar. If you get to a Super Bowl and it's a close game in the fourth quarter, you're good enough to win. I don't think Dak's in that group. I think there's 11 guys. That's it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I could have done a snitch show today. This topic is unbelievable to me on a million levels of snitching. Nick Wright, not a snitch. I don't see him as a snitch. Nick's got just enough flaws that he's not going to snitch on people. He likes to gamble.
Well, Nick, you know, he's also from Kansas City, you know.
They had mobs there.
They don't get down with snitching.
Yeah, Kansas City's a mob town. Snitch, you end up in the back of a sedan. Via the Coward Global Satellite Network, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. You don't appear to be a snitch guy to me. Because you've got enough faults and problems that you don't want to be snitched on.
Oh, yeah, listen, first of all, exactly right. You are dead on, Colin. I'm a flawed, far from perfect, in fact, very imperfect human being. And I don't want people ratting on me. And you also, even if it was in less than delicate terms, I mean, you alluded to the fact that I'm an Italian guy from Kansas City. I mean, I don't know if I'd call Kansas City a mob town, but I mean, there were certain establishments, maybe, you know, a few guys. And so, yeah, I mean, deny is something you learn at a very young age. With that said, and like you said, you could do 20 minutes on it. I don't think should be called the snitch hotline. I think it should be called the public health hotline to make sure LeBron can still get his 4th ring. So I am actually all in favor of people calling this hotline. I don't consider it snitching, but that's just me.
I'm telling you, this is a segment for the ages right here. Okay, Dak, the outcome. I think he's going to get franchise tagged. I think it's a kick the tires moment for Mike McCarthy. I've always thought it's the right thing to do. Your thoughts on what's going to transpire or not today?
Well, listen, he's going to get franchise tagged, and I believe that's going to end up with Dak Prescott playing for a different team in 2022.
Wow.
Because Dak Prescott rolled the dice when he had only made $2 million in his entire NFL career last year and didn't take a long-term deal. He feels like he won. He rolled 7s. He's now rolling the dice again with when he's only made $4 million in his career. If he has the courage to do that, then what it would make sense to me is next year, when he would have just made $31 million, when the tag is $38 million, that he will do it one more time and position himself to be the most sought-after free agent in NFL history. The only thing that could come close to it is Peyton Manning, but he was coming off neck surgery. Dak will be 28 years old and a true free and clear free agent. We saw what Kirk Cousins got. Dak is better than Kirk Cousins, even if it's just marginally, and he's more marketable. So I believe that Dak Prescott is going to play under the franchise tag this year and then do it again next year, and then it's going to be a full-blown auction for teams such as the Colts or the Steelers when Ben's gone or the Broncos when they realize your guy, Drew Lock, stinks. Any of those teams say, we got to finally get a quarterback, and Dak's going to end up becoming the richest player in NFL history. That's how I think this thing plays out.
By the way, I said when you're a young person, and I certainly had this break in my life, young people need somebody, older person with power and leverage to bang on the table. And it's helped me in my career. I don't think McCarthy's banging on the table. I think he's had Favre. I think he's had Rodgers. And I think he's saying to himself, you know, I don't want to get fired for a second time. Let's just kick the tires for a year. What about my Mike McCarthy angle that it would help if he was in there banging on the table for him? And I don't think he is.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I think the Cowboys, listen, they overpaid Amari Cooper. Even if it's slightly, they overpaid him. They overpaid Zeke, or certainly paid Zeke when they didn't have to. They overpaid DeMarcus Lawrence. They gave Jalen Smith a bucket of money. And they have three offensive linemen scheduled next year to make $10 million plus. That's seven guys on long-term deals making $10 to $20 million per year. When you do all that, when you haven't yet paid your quarterback, and then your quarterback, I think, shocked you by saying a contract that would have made him pre-Mahomes, the highest paid player in NFL history, isn't good enough. I think all that plus the coach not standing on the table for him or banging the table, all of that I think is what has led us to this point, which is 18 months of negotiations with Dak Prescott and no contracts getting signed.
By the way, Nick, I had a list of 11 guys that I think can win a Super Bowl as a quarterback. Now, I say, you got to be able to beat a Mahomes-level guy. You got to be able to beat a Hall of Fame coach. You got to be able to win on the road. You got to put three good games back-to-back. You're not counting Nick Foles. He got home field from Wentz. These are my 11 guys. Mahomes, yep. Jackson, Russell, Rodgers, Wentz, Brady, Breeze are getting close to the end. Goff, Ryan, Jimmy, Garoppolo, we're close enough. If you get that close, if you get nominated for an Oscar, yep. You can win an Oscar. And Deshaun Watson, you think I'm missing one. Yeah. Who?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you get nominated for an Oscar, you can win an Oscar. So you're telling me if you're in the Super Bowl with the ball down less than a touchdown, you should be on this list. So where's Cam Newton, Colin? I call you out for your Cam Newton blind spot once again. Where's Cam Newton? He was closer to winning the Super Bowl than Jared damn Goff was, tell you that much right now. Closer when, I mean, he had the ball down six. Von Miller happened to, you know, take it from him. He didn't dive on it, and we all flipped out. Where's Cam Newton? Put Cam Newton on your list, Colin. That's what if you're going to have Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo on there, and old grandpa Tom Brady, then you got to have Cameron J. Newton on there, sir.
All right. I didn't know. What's his middle name? What does J stand for?
I just made up the J.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
It just fit. I have no idea.
That was just a shot to take a shot at me. All right. I am flummoxed by the New York Jets can't bait Jamal Adams, but the Browns now have 10 guys. They're paying $10 million or more, and they pay Myles Garrett, who I think deserves every penny. My point being, I love Sam Darnold. You can't overcome a ridiculous front office. Your take on this?
Yeah, I think that this is one of the most unfair things about the NFL is if you're a quarterback, unless you are a true 1-1 percenter, so much of your success is going to be determined by where you're drafted. Now, it could have been worse for Darnold. He could have gotten the Josh Rosen treatment, I suppose. I still believe there's an alternate universe where Josh Rosen can play in the NFL, but he's never gotten the opportunity. But yeah, Darnold ends up in a spot where the head coach, who seems to have the most power, seems to actively dislike you based on how talented you are. The more talented you are, the less he wants you in the building. I don't understand it. My other takeaway, Colin, if I may for a moment on the Myles Garrett side of this, is, listen, Myles Garrett, the last time we saw him on the football field, he did something dumb. He conked Mason Rudolph on, that, on his head with the exact item that is designed to protect Mason Rudolph's head. It was a bad thing, and he should have been suspended. That was the last time we saw him play football. In the 48 hours after that, some of our media brethren had a collective conniption fit calling for the arrest and banishment of Myles Garrett. The Browns heard all that, saw that. He hasn't played a game since then. And they measured it all and said, how about we pay you more than any defensive player in the history of the league? Haven't seen you on the field since you whacked Mason on the head. Take $125 million, Miles, because you're that talented. So I look back to the commentary in the days following that, what was it, Thursday night game or Monday night game. Everyone had gone a little crazy for about 48 hours. I'm glad the Browns weren't part of that insanity.
Well, yeah, Myles Garrett's career is not defined by that moment. All of us, myself included, have bad moments. It doesn't define who he is. He's a really great player. Finally, so I came out and I brought, you know, in the NFL, there's a, I call it the Super Bowl bubble, and there's always about 7-8 teams, I think, when the playoffs start, based on some breaks, right quarterback, right coach, going to Super Bowl. I've never felt that in the NBA. I think it's like 2 to 3 teams every year. Everybody else is a pretender. So I came out with my NBA championship bubble, and I got Bucks, Clippers, Celtics in it, and Avery Bradley, Rondo gone. I took the Lakers out of it. Everybody else is on the fringes, and apparently you had a problem with this. I'm guessing it's LeBron.
Well, Colin, come on, man. Like, did you get conked on the head by Mason Rudolph's helmet? You're going to have a team with LeBron James outside of the championship bubble? The last time a LeBron team wasn't one of the four finalists, you can't even get him in the top four. How far back do we have to go? To 2006? The last time that happened? Like, I heard what you said about the Clippers. Ah, the Clippers, they're 2-1 against the Lakers, and they dominated them in the two wins. They were controlled the game. Both those games were tied midway through the fourth quarter. Like, this love affair everyone in the media has with the Clippers while just brushing to the side the team that still has the best player in basketball in LeBron and the best big man in basketball in Anthony Davis is baffling to me. The Avery Bradley thing is bad. I agree with Kevin O'Connor, who was on with you a couple days ago. The Rondo thing actually might end up being a bit of a blessing in disguise. We'll see. But having the Celtics inside the championship bubble and the Lakers outside of it, it's worse than leaving Cam Newton off your Super Bowl quarterback bubble. You have two bubbles. They both got bursts. They're both wrong.
Good stuff today. Boy, Nick looks – look at Nick. He's got a nice suit on. He must have just won a big bet.
I got a haircut.
Oh, you got a haircut.
Since I last saw you, I finally got a haircut. Yeah, world opening back up. You're next on that train, Colin.
Yep. 1 o'clock today, I'm getting a haircut. This whole mess is going away. All right, buddy. Good seeing you.
There you go. Good talking to you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Okay, so Dak Prescott could sign a contract long-term with the Cowboys. And people have kind of aligned in two camps. I'm in the camp of he's good, needs a lot around him. Don't want him to go. I'd franchise tag him. Let's see if it was Jason Garrett as the problem last year as he eroded. But I don't want him leaving. And then there's the other. He deserves it. You got to pay him because he earned nothing and he's great. And I don't really fall into that. But here's the thing. Let's not have a pity party. Okay, here's the two outcomes. To me, there's only two outcomes. Number one, he plays very well with McCarthy. Jason Garrett was the problem and he gets a long-term deal. Or the more likely one, there's no OTAs. The offensive line for the Cowboys is aging. This is a new system, a new coach, and a coach that's had Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and they franchise him this year. And they're too good to get a great draft pick, and they don't want Cam Newton or Derek Carr, so they franchise him again, and he makes $69 million guaranteed. That is a lot of money. That is the more likely one. But let's not kid ourselves. They're not bailing on him. I mean, he's not going to be awful with Mike McCarthy. Like, we know he's not going to be terrible. If you look at Dallas's schedule this year, it's pretty workable. It's one of the easier schedules in the NFL. And the Giants still aren't great, and Washington's still not great, although I think they both have a chance to be better than we think. But neither's great. Philadelphia could be great. Could go 0-2 there. But he's not going to be awful. And so you got two things. Now, Nick Wright and I disagree. I think he got two outcomes. He plays well, gets a long-term deal. Or he's meh, 8-8, new system, not a lot of practices. Washington, New York are better. Philadelphia's great. NFC's loaded. They're 8-8. They don't make the playoffs. And you're like, Cammer, Dak, Dak. Cammer, Derek Carr, Dak. We didn't get Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Dak. And you just franchise tag him another year. And he makes $69 million. That's to live in that world, if that's the worst-case scenario, to live in Dallas, a beautiful city, no state tax, and $69 million, that's a lot of lettuce. So, Jane Slater, who does a great job, part of the Herd Podcast Network, she does a great job, talks about this morning why the Cowboys haven't written the big long-term check yet.
A lot of people, they feel like, well, you've overpaid players for years. Why not the one guy that actually deserves it? Unfortunately, I think you have two things happening here. You finally have a front office that's saying to themselves, we can't keep getting ourselves in what they used to call cap hell around here. And we're not going to be able to go to a Super Bowl if we continue to overpay players. And they said that even with the Ezekiel Elliott deal, we were talking about this last summer, guys, you can't overpay these players, but they feel like they're not disrespecting him, and they're also not overpaying him. They're paying what they believe is the market value.
And here's the other thing. There are some quarterbacks this year in the NFL where I think there could be a drastic outcome. If Baker Mayfield unravels, out. Or he's Pro Bowl level with all these weapons. I mean, I think you could get an either or with Baker Mayfield. Dwayne Haskins, he wins some games. He grows a lot with Ron Rivera, or he's not very good. They move on. Those are drastic outcomes. I'm Derek Carr. Like Derek Carr and Gruden, you know, in that division, Denver's better, Chargers better, Casey's better. Gruden looks up, they're 6-10, and he's like, I'm out of here. Or Oakland's draft picks, they had good draft last year, are really good on the defensive side. Oakland ends up making a wild card team, and Gruden's like, you know what? We're 9-7, 10-6, I'm going to go one more year. I think those guys, Baker, Derek Carr, Dwayne Haskins, you could have drastic, depending on how they play. They're gone or they get a big contract. I don't see that with Dak. He either gets a long one or he gets a good one. So I not a big pity party. He's in a good spot either way.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Interesting story by Bruce Feldman today on college football coaches on the prospect of losing players to a postponed season. So I think right now we're about 50-50 on playing college football in the spring. One of the things that to me is sort of exhausting in the media is I don't always have to have a strong opinion on everything. I don't. I see a lot of gray in life. But you get a lot of attention if you're Fox News or MSNBC, the world's ending or Trump's being picked on. And by the way, not a Trump fan, but I tend in life when it comes to most presidents and most political issues, I'm somewhere leaning one side or the other, but I'm kind of in the middle. Same in sports. I don't have massive, strong tribal opinions on a lot of stuff. And I'm not going to engineer them or be inauthentic to get a click. Like, if I say stuff, I mean it. I'm okay with spring football and college football. It's not my ideal situation. I'd rather have it in the fall. But let me shoot down two of the, these scenarios are just, it's Armageddon. Number one, the weather issue. Playing in late January, February, March, the weather in the Midwest isn't great. But four of the five Power Five conferences, ACC has got a lot of Carolina, Florida schools, Pac-12 out west, SEC in the South, and Big 12, very temperate late January, February, March weather. It's you're not playing in blizzards in those places. So the weather thing's overstated. Here's the other one, though. Oh, this is the end of college football. Do you know that nobody that's going to get drafted is going to want to play in it? That is a bunch of nonsense. On an average year, there's about 15 to 18 players in college football this year. They're going to be first-round picks. You know, Travis, Lawrence, the quarterback at Clemson, Justin Fields. Alabama's got a receiver and a couple of defensive linemen. There's about 18 guys that are going in the first round. Outside of that, players have to play themselves into the first round or upper second round. That's where the money is. Outside of that, nobody's making money by the end of the second round, early third. You got to play your way into it. I mean, LSU has a lot of guys, even LSU last year, that played their way in to the late first round, early second. So that's a bunch of nonsense. Here's the other thing. There's over 1,100 college football players. There's 85 scholarships a team. There's 120, 130 teams. You have over 1,100, almost 1,200 college football players. Oh, my bad. Did I say 100? It's 1,000. Sorry. So you got 11,000, 12,000 college football players. Let's say 40 are like, I'm a first round guy. Even though they're not, they think they are. 40 are like, I am out. 40 of 12,000 is going to crush the sport. And by the way, the three or four schools that would lose the most players, Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, they've got five-star guys as backups. If Trevor Lawrence left Clemson, that hurts. Have you seen the backup? He's a kid from Los Angeles who many believe is the single most talented quarterback in a decade in Los Angeles. Okay, he'll step in like Trevor Lawrence did as a freshman and win a bunch of games at Clemson with their talent. It's not like they don't have NFL offensive linemen, backs, receivers, tight ends, and defensive guys. They have the best defensive coordinator in the country. Ohio State, ooh, one of our receivers left. The other seven they have on their roster, Ohio State doesn't recruit 2- and 3-star wide receivers. They get the cream of the crop. So does Bama. So does Clemson. So the people that it would affect, actually Bama, Ohio State, Clemson, maybe in Oklahoma, those teams are star-studded. Oklahoma can go on the road regularly in their conference, not play particularly well, and win by 2 touchdowns. I mean, if you look at Alabama every year, they've got 2 really tough games. They've got that, you know, like a Georgia-LSU game and a playoff game. They're boat racing people by 30. They lose 6 starters. Who do you think they have behind them? Me? Goulet? No. So there's a little weather concern. It's little. It's not gigantic. And yes, it would be tough on a Clemson in Alabama. But they are so well equipped. It's not like if Purdue loses a left tackle and a center. They're done. Season's over. Their backups are no star guys. Their backup guys are not even undrafted free agent level players. Clemson, they're not starting a guy. I mean, Clemson starts 22 players offense and defense. At this point, I'd be shocked if more than 4 didn't end up in an NFL camp, drafted or undrafted. Like, everybody's an NFL player at Alabama. Everybody gets a look. You started Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State at this point. It is rare if you don't at least get an invite to a camp for the NFL. So this idea, college football either goes in the fall or it's a disaster. No, it's not. You play like 7-8 games. You have your first game the last weekend of January. You play four games in February. It's a short month. You play 3 more in March. You're done by March 15th. Guys, you know, star players don't go to the combine necessarily anyway. Who gives a rip? And you have an 8-game schedule. It's fun. We're all happy. And then you get a month after the season, a month.